luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleepmaker Luxury Collection. First class sleep, available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made, the Mayfair and St Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support, and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. Sleepmaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates part of the disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. Sleepmaker Luxury, exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in store and online.
You're listening to SBS News.
My name is Alan Rahari. I'm the Interim Deputy Director General of the FFA and also the current Director of Fisheries Operations. Pacific Island Forum Fisheries Agency plays a critical role in the fisheries in the region. Our main role is really to ensure that the tuna stocks in the region remains to be sustainable. And at the same time, we ensure through support to our members that the economic return from those tuna fisheries are coming through.
So how did the Pacific Islands Forum Fisheries Agency come into being?
So the FFA was established in 1979. It was established at a time when the UN Law of the Sea Convention came into force, and there was the extension of members' exclusive economic zone out to the 200 nautical miles. So there was an additional body of water that coastal states has the responsibility over. And so the need for the FFA to work together between countries to ensure that the tuna stock, which is highly migratory fish stock, are managed throughout the range of the stock, meaning that both in exclusive economic zone of coastal states as well as on the high seas.
What is the current state of the tuna fishery here in the Pacific?
I must say that our members have worked really hard to ensure that the tuna in our region continue to remain sustainable. So in that, the fisheries management frameworks that are put in place are really working well for us. And so the four key tuna stocks in the region are actually in a healthy state.
Why is it so important to make sure the tuna fishery is sustainable?
The tuna fishery in the region is a backbone to a lot of our Pacific Island countries. In fact, revenue generated from the tuna is the only economic return for them to support, you know, schools and hospitals. Some other countries do not have other resources like, you know, logging or mining and so forth. They rely very much just on the fisheries resources.
What kind of threat does illegal, unreported and unregulated, otherwise known as IUU fishing, pose to the region?
IUU fishing poses significant challenges for the Pacific, but not only for the Pacific, it's a global issue. But for us in the Pacific, IUU fishing does take away the economic returns that should have gone to Pacific Island countries. So meaning the rents that fishing vessels pay to access our members' exclusive economic zones have been taken away when vessels come in illegally and undertake illegal, unreported, unregulated fishing within their waters. So they don't pay the fees at all. So it's a big issue for our members when it comes to IUU fishing, because they actually forego the revenue that they should benefit from access to the waters.
Does each Pacific Island country have different management approaches when it comes to their fishery?
That's right, yeah. So the management of tuna in the region is depend very much on the type of species, type of tuna species in the region. So there are different type of tuna species. You have skipjack, you have albacore, and so the different fisheries requires different management arrangements. Some uses quota, others uses total allowable catches. And so the fisheries management framework that are put in place takes into account all this to ensure that the stock has been managed sustainably, but also ensuring that the impact that the fisherman has on the stock is minimised, and there is obviously economic return from the fisheries.
Operations targeting illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing, like Operation Tui Moana, what do they seek to achieve?
Operations, it's a key activity within the FFA. In fact, the operation plays a critical role in ensuring that there is strong visibility of fisheries officers out there, whether it be out there conducting border inspections out there in the water or in port to receive and fishing vessels that they come alongside and inspect those fishing vessels. And so the regional operations do play a critical role in enhancing the visibility of authorized officers carrying out their role, but at the same time also shining a torchlight on the areas that requires more focus. You know, things like, for example, vessels that have gone dark, they're not reporting on any vessel monitoring system, and so forth. I like to use the analogy of a traffic police officer. The officer standing on the roadside, when the vehicle comes alongside, they see the police officer, so they just keep on, whereas if they are no police officer, they come and do a U-turn and turn around. So they have a license, but they're just not complying with the rules. And that's exactly the kind of things that's actually happening in that space as well. They do have license, but they're just not complying with the terms and conditions of the license.
In this vein, what is the biggest risk to the region?
The biggest risk for our region, what we call unreported fishing, so meaning fishing vessels are not providing their catch reports accurately. So they're catching fish, they're licensed, but they're not reporting their catch accurately. So, you know, instead of reporting, say, 10 tons, they're probably reporting 9 tons of fish. And it's mainly conducted by vessels that are licensed by our members.
Why is unreported fishing difficult to monitor?
It's difficult because some of the fisheries management framework that we have in place requires for the vessels to report their catches to fisheries administrations. And sometimes those reports are not being provided accurately. And so to address that, there are independent reporting arrangements in place to ensure that those discrepancies in reporting have been detected and they become non-compliance issues for our members to address. So some of the independent reporting arrangements are things like, you know, when you have observers on fishing vessels, the observers also record the amount of fish that the fishing vessel actually catches. So apart from the fishing vessel maintaining their own record, you have the observers independently recording those catches as well too. So that way our fisheries administrations can then look at those data and ensure that there is consistency in those data. But apart from that, also there are other measures that are in place to try and address this unreported fishing issue. Things like having vessels electronically report their catches near real-time to fisheries administrations. So this is where having the fishing vessels have tools on fishing vessels that they can then report their catches real-time to fisheries administrations, for them to undertake analysis of those informations near real time, so they can identify non-compliance issues near real time and take actions near real time. So that's electronic reporting. We also have electronic monitoring as well. So this is where we have cameras on fishing vessels, monitoring the activities of the fishing vessels. So this also goes towards addressing that unreported fishing as well. The other measures that we're taking to address unreported fishing is mainly also around enhancing the analytical capacity for our members to analyze those data. So when the catch records are provided to our fisheries administrations, they need to have the skills to undertake analysis of those data so that they can identify those anomalies in the reporting.
And is the electronic port, the e-port, another method?
That's right, yes. So e-port is part of that in that it's recording of catches when the catches are loaded in port, and then verifying that through the supply chain all the way through factories and so forth.
When we're talking about fisheries observers, do they face challenges on board?
There has been some challenges with observers on fishing vessels. The challenges are very much around carrying out their compliance role. So in the past, observers have been mainly used to support science work, particularly collection of data. But more and more, observers are now being used to collect also compliance information, and so there are instances where as part of collecting their compliance information, they are subject to some sort of harassments and not been treated well on fishing as well, on fishing vessels as well too.
And I guess being at sea, Are there safety risks as well?
Yes, that's right. I know, just being out there on a fishing vessel, not only for observers but a crew as well on fishing vessel, there's always a lot of risk. And so for observers, there is strong requirement for observers to be well looked after when they're actually out on fishing vessels conducting their work. And those are set out in the licensing conditions at the national level or at the country level, but also there are regional processes through the FFA to ensure that there is consistent safety tools in place to help ensure observers could carry out their work in a safe environment. So some of the safety tools include personal locator beacons. For some reason they fell overboard, those beacons can be activated. Also, they do have safety devices on them, so when they are harassed when on fishing vessels by the crew, they can press the devices that will send out an SOS.
In instances where safety has come into question, for example, in the Windfar 636 case, has that spurred any changes in policy or protection?
Yes. So one of those big ones, particularly at the FFA level, is having in place an observer compensation scheme. Essentially, all observers that are on fishing vessels are covered through some sort of observer insurance policy. But there are also gaps in those insurance policies. And so at the FFA level, we have also established an observer compensation scheme which allows for any gaps in those observer insurance policies. The observer compensation scheme sort of closes the gaps on those. And it's a scheme that covers from when the observer leaves their home all the way to when the observer comes back. So from leaving their home onto the fishing vessel, out at sea, back onto the shore and back home.
Luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleepmaker Luxury Collection. First Class Sleep, available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made, the Mayfair and St Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support, and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. Sleepmaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates partner disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. Sleepmaker Luxury, exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in store and online.